Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Friday, and I hope you've had a great week, and I hope that part of the reason your week's been great is that you've been with us for every single time we've been together to hear the Word of the Lord. If you haven't, you can log on to the website at derekprince.org to receive this great teaching called The Way Up is Down. We are learning some of the most important and fundamental truths from the Word of God about the state of our souls, about pride, about how we need to cast down pride and live lives of humility so that we begin to activate those invisible laws of the Spirit that are part of the kingdom that we've been born into. We are living a new kind of existence. When we're Christians, we are part of an invisible kingdom, and there are laws that are often the inverse of the laws of this world. And as we learn to live in them, as we learn to walk in them, as tough as they are sometimes, we begin to live lives of consequence. Now, today we're going to find out some amazing things about how Jesus humbled himself. In fact, the Greek word actually means that he emptied himself so that he then could be exalted by the hand of God. Satan is our negative example in that in pride he was cast down from what he was made to be, cast down from heaven. Jesus, of course, is our positive example in that he humbled himself and he was exalted and so became a source of salvation for all mankind. Now listen, if you've not had a chance to steepen these teachings, again, log on the website, derekprince.org. And while you're there, while you're listening to the teachings, you'll also have a chance to find out how you can be involved with this ministry. We want to partner with you to change the world. We want to extend the Word of God into the nations of the earth. And you can help us and we can help you and we can partner to accomplish God's will in this generation. Listen, let's get right to the teaching. Get your Bible, get something to take notes with, and let's listen now as Derek teaches us about how the way up is down.
I think it would be good if I began by briefly recapitulating the theme that I chose, that I feel the Lord gave me, was a spiritual law that I believe works throughout the entire universe. I pointed out that there are physical laws that we all recognize which operate in every circumstance in which they apply, as for instance the law of gravity. No sensible person today expects the law of gravity to cease working at their convenience. You step out of a fourth floor window, it's no good expecting that you won't fall, because you know you will. There's a law at work in that situation. I pointed out that there are also spiritual and moral laws in the universe which are just as universal in their application, in fact more so, and which it is just as impossible to break. That if you go contrary to those laws, you will not break the laws, but the laws will break you, just as with the law of gravity. The particular law that I chose to begin to deal with, and I'm going to continue dealing with it, is stated three times in the New Testament. And each time it's stated from the lips of Jesus himself, it's pretty simple. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is a universal law that applies in any situation, in any life, at any time. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. The King James says, I believe, abased. Perhaps another word would be humiliated. But if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. Put it in a simple phrase, the way up is down. But if you try to go down up, you'll end by going down. The great example that we took of that was the created archangel whose name originally was Lucifer, who was perhaps the most wise and the most beautiful of all the created angels. And as I understand, he was in charge of one-third of God's angels. But the scripture reveals in Ezekiel 28 and elsewhere that because of his beauty and his wisdom, his heart became proud, pride led to rebellion, He not merely rebelled individually, but he incited rebellion against God amongst all the angels over whom he had charge, and he led one-third of the created angels in rebellion against God, and for that was banished from the presence of God. Now, I want to focus on the positive aspect of that truth. Lucifer's name was changed to Satan. Instead of being the son of the dawn, the one who brings light, the one who heralds the dawn, he became Satan, the resister, the adversary, the one who opposes God's purposes and God's people. He's an example of the negative aspect of that truth. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. I want to look at the positive aspect. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And there is the most perfect contrast in this respect between Lucifer, who became Satan, and Jesus, who was and is by nature the Son of God, God himself. Satan reached up, slipped, and fell. Jesus stooped down and was lifted up. If you can focus your mind on those two beings, you'll see the most perfect illustration of this truth. But the truth applies in every area of every life, in every time and situation. Let me say it again. The way up is down. To look now at the positive aspect as illustrated by Jesus, I want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, to a very well-known and very beautiful passage, a passage that I can never read without being personally challenged by its truth. I'm going to read, first of all, from Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. I'm reading from the New International Version. I may make a few suggestions about alternative translations. In some respects, I think the New American Standard is closer to the original in this passage. When I prepare my radio broadcasts, I have both versions in front of me as well as the King James, and I choose the one that suits me best. But preaching, it's difficult to carry a lot of different Bibles around, so I stick to one version. Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then, in the verses that follow, Paul explains what he means by the attitude of Christ Jesus. King James says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature or form God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. There he's in direct opposition to Satan, who did consider equality with God something to be grasped, reached up, grasped for it, slipped, and fell irretrievably. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. The New American Standard says he emptied himself, which is a more literal translation. One of the great hymns of Charles Wesley says he emptied himself of all but love. He emptied himself and took the nature or the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
You know, it's fascinating that the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:5 that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Now, he had equality with God, but he didn't grasp it so that he could fulfill the will of God. Satan, on the other hand, was not equal with God, and yet he sought to grasp what was not his. A great lesson. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood, In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, delighted that you're with me. We are feasting on the riches of God's Word as Derek teaches us out of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. We're learning that Jesus became a servant and emptied himself. The Greek word is kenosis, emptied himself, not considering his equality with God something to be grasped. Interestingly, Satan did try to grasp equality with God when it wasn't his in the first place. Let's learn the lesson as Derek teaches us about the humility of Jesus.
He emptied himself and took the nature or the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Bear in mind that this letter of Paul was written in a prison. I don't think he had concordances by him. I don't suppose he had any particular comforts or conveniences. And one of the things that causes me to marvel about the inspiration of Scripture is the perfect balance of this passage, which I'm sure Paul didn't premeditate. He may not even have been conscious of what he wrote. But in this passage, we see the seven steps down and the seven steps up. And I want to pause for a moment and point them out to you. Look first at the seven steps down. And seven, as you know, is often in Scripture the number of completion or perfection, and it's also associated with the Holy Spirit. All right, in verse 7, the first step down, he emptied himself. He laid aside all the attributes of divinity. The second step down, he took the form of a servant. He who was the Lord became the servant. However, there are various kinds of servants in the universe. He could have become equal with the angels and been a servant. The Scripture says in Hebrews he was made a little lower than the angels. So the next step down, he was made in human likeness. He became a man, not an angel. The fourth step down, he was found in appearance as a man. He could have taken on what I would call the Adamic perfection. He could have appeared as Adam appeared in majesty and beauty and glory before the fall. But he didn't appear like that, because when he walked the streets of his hometown Nazareth, there was nothing special external to distinguish him from all the other people of the town. And when Peter ultimately identified him as the Messiah and the Son of God, Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." There was nothing in his external appearance to make him different from the other men of his day. So he was not merely a human, but he was a man like the men of his time. The fifth step down, he humbled himself. Not merely was a man of his time, but he was a humble man of his time. He was not a prince. He was not a wealthy man. He was not a political leader. He was not a military commander. He had none of those aspects or functions which impress people in the natural. I heard years ago of a brother in the Lord in Britain, upon whose heart the Lord laid the prayer, which he raised in response to the Lord, "Lord, show me your hands." And he kept praying this. He didn't know why, but he prayed, "Lord, show me your hands." And one day the Lord answered the prayer and showed him his hands. But it was a surprise, because he anticipated that he would see the nail prints in the hands. But the way the Lord showed him his hands was the hands of a working man, rough with the use of the hammer and the saw, the other instruments, just a plain working man. He was a humble man. The sixth step down, he became obedient to death. Not merely lived as a man, but died as a man. The seventh and the final step down, death on a cross. The ultimate of humiliation, shame, rejection, and agony. So those are the seven great steps down to the lowest place of all, the place of the criminal, the reject, rejected by men and even rejected by God the Father on our account. Now, in verse 9, look at the first word. What is it? Therefore. You see, this is the outworking of a divine law. This is not an accident. Jesus was not exalted because he was God's son. He was exalted because he earned it. You see that? There's two therefores in this passage. I'll show you another one in a moment. See, even Jesus was subject to this law. There is no one in the universe who is not subject to this law. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now let's look at the exaltation, which also has seven aspects to it. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, number one. Number two, gave him the name that is above every name. The King James says a name, but the correct translation is the name. There's only one name that's above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. The third aspect, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And then 4, 5, and 6 are the different areas of the universe in which knees will bow. Fourth, in heaven. Fifth, on earth. And sixth, under the earth. The three great areas of the universe are all going to acknowledge the exaltation of Jesus by bowing their knees. And seventhly, finally, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Seven steps down and seven steps up. But he could not take the steps up until he'd taken the steps down. I invite you to meditate on that therefore. Therefore, God gave him the highest place in the universe. For many years I thought it was all worked out in advance. Jesus was just going to do certain things and then God would automatically exalt him. But I saw that it wasn't so. Jesus had to meet the conditions to be exalted. And if he had to meet them, believe me, you and I have to meet them too.
I want you to consider that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is at the right hand of God the Father, laid aside everything it meant to be the Son of God, emptied himself, became a servant, became a man, humbled himself even to death, so that he could fulfill the will of God. This is our pattern. If we will empty ourselves, if we will humble ourselves, we will take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of us. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for joining us today. We're at the very end of this marvelous first week of teaching that Derek's been doing on how the way up is down. We've really been soaking in the idea that there is an invisible kingdom, an invisible realm that we are part of. And in that realm, there are laws, there are truths that we can obey, that we can put in motion concerning our lives that make a massive difference. And I've loved the fact that Derek has been talking to us about pride and about how we can counter pride. He's shown us the example of Jesus out of Philippians 2:5, how Jesus humbled himself and emptied himself and took on the form of a man and form of a servant and even humbled himself unto death. This really is the path to exaltation. And many people ask me, how can I humble myself? How can I make myself small? I mean, do I have to dislike myself? Do I have to put myself in embarrassing situations? You know, I think we have a key in Philippians 2:5. The Bible said, first of all, that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And so the first principle is, what are we grasping that is a sense of entitlement? What are we hanging on to that gives us a sense that we have rights to be treated a certain way? The Bible says that the first thing Jesus did was lay down his rights. And so ask yourself that question. What am I grasping that gives me a sense of position, of rights, of entitlement? But the real key is this, that Jesus became a servant. You know, the great Gospel of Mark portrays Jesus as a servant more clearly than anything else, I think, in the Word of God. 33 times in the book of Mark, the word straightaway, as it says in the King James, or immediately is used. What's being described there is that Jesus moves from need to need, from situation to situation, and the word that Mark uses 33 times is immediately, instantly, immediately. Jesus heals one guy and immediately moves and takes care of another need. He's a servant. He's caring for people. In fact, the historic image or symbol for the book of Mark was the ox, the beast of burden, the servant animal. And I want to suggest that one of the greatest ways that you can really deal with pride is by turning your heart towards serving people. Everybody in your life provides for you, in essence, an opportunity for you to serve them, for you to do things for them, for you to care for them. Being a servant is helping other people bear their burdens. It's doing the things that they need to have done. It's humbling yourself and doing the menial things that nobody else wants to do. I want to ask you to scan your life, take an inventory, and look for those opportunities that the Holy Spirit will give you where you can serve others, refusing to grasp the rights and the privileges that would normally keep you from servanthood. Well, listen, please steepen these truths. DerekPrince.org is where you'll find these teachings, and you can also learn how to partner with this ministry in some wonderful ways. We're going to continue this next week. You don't want to miss any of it, but that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to request your copy of Derek's DVD, Being a Servant, available for just $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the key to joy, influence, and blessing. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your DVD copy of Being a Servant securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.